in myself. Covering up colors to paint the whole picture. Not enough words to ever say what I found. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Someone Should Have Told Me. I am so sorry, guys. Life is an adventure, and I have been all in it. So I haven't been doing my weekly podcasts as I should, but I'm going to do better. And I know I've said this before, but life, oh my goodness. So I'm going to try to do better. But you guys, let me tell you some things. First of all, that was CeCe Winings. That's my king. While I am enjoying my adventures, oh my goodness. I know I did that podcast, Choose Your Side. Understand that I chose mine. That I am on the side of God, but I got some things to tell you. And if you don't believe, oh my goodness, you may later, but it's up to you because he will reveal himself to you no matter what. Okay, so let's get into this. I have experienced some things. First of all, let me tell you guys, the power is amazing. So, you know, my sister needed a kidney, and she had been on the kidney list for 6 years. She had been doing self-dialysis for going into her fourth year. She was doing amazing. She helped us with my parents like nothing before, like nothing was even wrong with her. She would be there helping to do whatever was necessary. And you guys know the story about my parents and them passing within 17 hours of each other. It was a miracle. If you did not hear that story, go back a couple of podcasts, and it's called I Witnessed Eternal Love, because for them to pass 17 hours apart, it was eternal love. My sister, my dad used to call her a soldier because she had to give herself dialysis 4 times a day and she didn't let it stop her. She was still coming to help with my parents like nothing was wrong with her. So we would go on Saturdays and take care of my parents, and it was like she would cook. I would give my mother a bath and wash her hair, and my other sister would clean up. And it was awesome. We would be like, you okay? She's like, I'm fine, I'm fine. And she would just do whatever she did. You look at her, you couldn't even tell that she was giving herself dialysis. Okay, so she's on the waiting list for a kidney. You have to go to the doctor maybe twice a month. And they check you out, make sure everything's doing good, how good your kidney is functioning, and try to tell you levels that you might need to raise in your chemical balance of your body. So she was going and she was doing good. They were saying how her attitude was great. And then they told her, oh my goodness, you're getting close to being on the top of the list. Well, when she called and told me that, my heart sunk because, oh my goodness, this is going to be an experience. It made me kind of nervous, just a little bit, because of what everything would entail of her getting a kidney and then recovering. I was like, oh my goodness. So I was at work this day, and I do work at the hospital where she goes to. She called me and she told me that, and I immediately took my lunch because I know how I feel. So I know she was a ball of emotions. So we went and we ate lunch and we talked. I think we both felt a little better afterward. Okay, we ready. Let's go. Okay, so probably a year had went by since that had happened. So on daylight savings time, it was March the 9th, getting ready to be March the 10th. Daylight savings time, she calls and she says, oh my goodness, they called me and they said, don't eat anything because we might have a kidney for you. But we have one person ahead of you. And if this kidney does not fit the other person, then you'll be the one getting it. So it's like, oh my, okay. So she called us and she said, oh my God, they called us. I'm not supposed to eat. Oh my goodness. A world of emotions, I'm sure, for her. Oh my goodness. And then I just told her and reassured her, okay, ready, set, go. We'll be here for you. Let's roll when it's time to roll. Well, you know, thinking about it, I thought, oh, one person ahead of them, why wouldn't they be able to get the kidney? It's like, they probably not going to call her. They probably just getting her ready to have a trial run so that when they do call her, she's ready. So, me and my husband took a laxative because it's like, they're not going to call her. Well, in the middle of the night, say about 4 o'clock in the morning, she was calling, but I don't know what my problem was. I think I had changed the ringer for her ring and I didn't recognize it when it rang. I thought it was a dream and I didn't answer the phone. But then I got up in the middle of the night to go to the restroom and I looked at the phone to see what time it was. And she said, I'm on the way. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. What do I do? Oh, to jump in the car and start going. Oh, I got to get dressed. Oh my God. So many thoughts, so many emotions. So I knew that she was with her mate and that he was taking her to the hospital, but oh my goodness, we need to be there with her. So I call my other sister and I tell her, oh my God, she says, I know. She answered the phone when she called and she said, don't rush because they're going to have to do some testing to make sure that I'm the right person for it. So you can take your time and get ready. It's like 6 o'clock in the morning at that time. So we are getting dressed. And we're like, okay, we're on our way. You want to ride together? You want me to pick you up? You want to ride separately? What are we going to do? Okay, we're going to ride together. Okay, let's go. Let's go. So we get there. And of course, it's Sunday morning, daylight savings time. We go to where we think she should be. We look and I'm asking people. And so we finally find her. And we get in there with her. They are about to take her into surgery. So it was perfect timing. The timing could not have been any better. So we hug her, we kiss her. She rides off. You know, it happened so fast that we didn't even have time to think about it. We didn't have time to worry about it. It was like, okay, let's go. When your time comes and it is just for you, it's bada bing, bada boom. It is done. And then when we get there, the nurses are in the hallways and they are so excited. Oh my God, I'm getting emotional. They are so excited. And they are like, this is in divine order. We are not in control here. And I was so happy to hear them say that because they are not in control. It is in divine order. Everything in your life, I don't care what it looks like. And that is something that I got from Cece Winings. It don't matter what it looks like. Just go and flow and it's going to be all for your good. And so we get there, the nurses are excited and they're like, oh my God, did they tell you? Did they tell you what happened? And it's like, no. It's like this kidney was offered to two other people before we got to her. Two other people came in, got tested. Poor people. God bless them, because I pray that they do get a kidney. But this one was meant for my sister. The nurses that were taking care of her. And this is not a Catholic hospital. It's not a hospital that talks about God. But the nurses in the transplant area, they know who he is. And they were saying, we are not in control. All I could think of is, when it is your time for you, it's not a thought. As I said, it is done. And you don't even have time to think about it. You don't have time to worry about it. You don't have time. Because when something is done the way the divine would like for it to be done, it cannot be done any better. It is done to perfection. That is what I learned through this, that if it's for you, you will have what is for you. You don't have to be looking at your neighbor wanting what they want. That's not for you. We don't know what's good for us and what's not good for us. You looking at what somebody else got, and if you had it, it might not be the same. If we just wait until it is coming to you, whatever is yours is coming to you. You just live day by day and you love one another and you do the best you can to be the best person that you can. And that is all that is required of you and ask of you. I have a friend. She says that she do not believe in God. And she is a sweet, sweet person. My fear for her is when she gets in trouble, that she has no one to go to. Because if she believed in God, she would know that just leave your burdens with him. And go ahead and live your life. Do you know worry is such a useless emotion? What does it do for you? It does nothing. Okay, I'm sorry. Let me get back to the story. My sister, I said, okay, how long is surgery? I said, is it going to be 4 hours? And I knew it was going to be long because of what was going on. And I know people who have gotten organs before, and the surgery is at least 4 hours. So I was like, is the surgery going to be 4 hours? They was like, now. If everything goes well, it'll be 4 hours, but it could be 5 hours. It could be 6 hours. It could be 7 hours. We don't know until we get in there and we get going. But if everything goes well, it could possibly be 4 hours. It's like, okay. So we went out into the waiting room. It's like so many emotions. It's like, oh my goodness, what do we do? So then we call in other people. So then other family members started to come and be with us as we waited. I kept looking at the OR screen to see, you know, who was going into surgery, who was coming out. They had a little key thing that still in surgery, out of surgery, in pre-op surgery. And so my sister went to surgery and it's like, oh my goodness, it's like 7:55 in the morning on daylight savings time, March the 10th. We're there and we're waiting and we're talking and family members come. It was a good thing that it was a Sunday because not a lot of surgeries, regular surgeries, happen on Sunday. So we had practically the whole waiting room and good because people kept arriving and it was amazing. 4 hours and maybe 10 minutes. She was out of surgery. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And then they said she did so good. The doctor came out and said, we put the kidney in the front, because you know your kidneys are in the back. So he said, we put the kidney in the front. That's what we do usually when we do a transplant. And I'm like, oh my God, why are you putting the kidney in the front? And he said, it's just easier to do the surgery and take out the other kidneys. It's very extensive. So they don't even take out the other two kidneys. They just put the new kidney in and they put it in the front at the bottom. Oh my goodness. So that was something that I learned. I didn't know that before either. And then you have to be on anti-rejection drugs because they don't want the kidney to be rejected by the body. All is good. She was recovering exceptionally. Everybody was so pleased and happy how good she was doing, because when it's meant for you, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. She's recovering phenomenally, and so phenomenally. So she had the surgery on Sunday. By Thursday, they was talking about sending her home. Oh my goodness. It's like bada bing, bada boom, just like I said. And now she's going home and it's like, oh my goodness, for a month. She needs 24/7 care. We just passed that month. My sister is doing amazing. I am so thankful. My friend that I told you that doesn't believe in God, she happened to be at work when we went for the surgery. She was there at the hospital and we were texting back and forth, and she was like, oh my goodness, come see me. And so while my sister was in recovery, it was on the same floor that I work on, and I went around there to get her, and I told her the emotions that I was having, and I was saying, oh my God, how can you not believe in God? I said, if you watch my life, how can you not believe in God? Because this happened with my sister, and then that miracle with my parents, because that was definitely a miracle. Everybody has to leave the earth sometime, and for them to leave like they did, definitely a miracle. We've had a couple of other miracles in our family as well. I have a niece in Arizona who flipped over on an ATV in a ditch, and it fell on her, and she broke her pelvis bone and a couple of other bones. Oh my goodness. That was devastating. And that was maybe 2 years ago. Well, she came here for Christmas, and you cannot even tell, because she is just got a scar on her hip. She walks just fine. She looks just fine. You cannot tell. Nothing ever happened to her. That is another miracle that my family have experienced. And then I have a nephew who has leukemia. He went through some things, but now he's in remission and he is doing amazing. He is most handsome, most intelligent, and he takes very good care of himself so that he does not go back. But he's in remission, and that was a miracle for us as well. And then tiny little miracles. You know, people have miracles and they don't even notice it. I recognize that this is a miracle. Before my parents died, and I had walked in to their senior living apartment, and when you walk into those apartments, you can see practically the whole apartment. So I see my dad sitting on the couch, and I see my mom on the floor in the bedroom as soon as I walk in the door. So I go get my mom off the floor, and she was so weak. If nobody had found her that day, she probably would have left this earth that day. But I got her up, and I took her to the shower, and I washed her up, And I made sure she ate. And then she got better. She got better. And she ended up being able to go for a walk after that in the hallways because she was getting up. That's how she ended up on the floor. She probably got up and was just too weak and just collapsed on the floor. Then I came and then we would, oh my God, brought her back to life. Me and my sisters, she was doing well enough where she was outside. We ended up getting a wheelchair for her so that we could sit her outside and things, but just to get some sun and get that energy from the sun, my mother came back to life, walked the hallways after that. And then, you know, I really believe that her body was still digressing because she was not eating enough to keep her body going. And so that's another whole podcast. But with that being said, that was a miracle before the miracle of their death. You guys need to recognize the things that are happening and where the blessings are coming from and who you can count on when things are down. Miracles are being performed every single day, but we need to recognize them. My sister is doing so good, and that is a miracle to me because there has been no complications. When it is done, it is done. And CeCe always says, when he say he's gonna do it, he will do it. It's another couple of songs like Believe For It. In that song, she says, they haven't seen what you can do. You can move mountains. Chains can be broken. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what they say. It's only a matter of what God wants to do for you. And that is why I always say, I don't worry about who is going to be president. I don't worry about anything else because who is in control of my life is God. And what he says is what will happen. And he is our creator and he will take care of us when it's looking gray and when it's looking bad. But then all of a sudden it comes through. I don't know how I could have made it when my parents both left if it wasn't for him. I don't know how I could have made it through a lot of things if it wasn't for my prayers and the prayers of the people that are around me and the encouragement. Please, you don't have to be so distraught and be like, oh my goodness, I don't know what's going to happen, what's going to do. Don't worry. Worry is a useless emotion. We need to take that out of our repertoire because it is useless and it means us no good. We need the trust of the Creator and we can be happy as we go through our life because we know He has our back. And when He has your back, nothing else matters. I think that I have said enough because nothing else can be said after that last line. Nothing else matters if He has your back. I want to thank you guys for listening. I want to thank you for staying with me, even though I have been sporadic in my podcast putting out. But I love you guys so much. I think of you all the time. My husband, I think that's part of the reason why I haven't, because He said he's going to do it with me, and I was trying to wait on him. But as soon as I'd be like, okay, let's do it, he'd be like, oh, well, let's wait. Oh, I'm not in the mood. I keep telling him the show must go on, but we'll get him together. In the meantime, I'm not going to let you guys go, but I'm going to let you go for now. I love you all. Thank you for listening. You can listen to me at Google Podcasts, Pandora, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere where you get your podcasts, even Amazon. Thank you so much. You can also email me at sshtmpodcast@gmail.com. I would love to hear comments from you guys. Please stay safe, stay diligent, know where your blessings come from, be thankful because that brings more blessings, and love each other and stop being so mean. There's a bunch of mean people out here too. Stop being so mean and take care, and I'll talk to you next time. I love you all so much. Goodbye.